Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Linda with Soul in the City. And today is Life Class. This is the first of many that I'll be doing. And this segment of my radio show will just be for UOS and IMM students, for us to gather, to share information, to collect our thoughts, to learn from each other, and to just evolve and share that experience with our students. I wanted to open this platform basically for students and graduates so that we could share what we're going through with IMM and UOS. So it's a unique university, building spiritual leaders, and it's some awesome people that attend and are doing this program. I thought this would be a great platform to us to put ourselves out there, to show that we're people of integrity and that we're the spiritual leaders of today and tomorrow. So pretty much that is it and why I opened up this show for today. I am just going to let us take a deep breath and remember who we are, whose we are, why we're here, our destiny and our purpose. I'm just going to finish out with a little crochet, Michelle, and then when I come back, I am going to be talking to one of the most amazing persons, Mr. Michael Hack. So here we go. I'll just finish out this music. Okay, I'm back, and I am ready to talk to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, I am so excited to have you be the first guest on Life Class for us, and I'm going to let us begin by you just telling us a little bit about yourself, Michael, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Right now I'm currently living in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I'm studying the comparative religion program from the University of Sedona, and I pretty much found my way into the program through the Unity Churches.
Mm-hmm.
I currently go to a Unity Church in Murfreesboro, and I started doing like a lot of like seeking spiritual path after leaving the mainstream Christian church.
Right.
Yeah, and basically I started studying near-death experiences and astral projection, some of those things, and it kind of started strengthening my belief in the New Thought principles. So after doing that, kind of made me a little more, wanted to commit more and actually become the ministerial program.
Okay, that's a good path to go on. I know a lot of us, I'm still, following the Christian path, but like I say, I respect all paths. Sometimes I don't always agree, but I don't have to, but I learn from everybody. So that's that's kind of the great thing about UOS and IMM is that, yeah, there are people with different paths and different thoughts, and we're all learning from each other. Doesn't mean that we all have to agree, and, you know, but we all have to come to a commonality of respect. So that's kind of one of the things I like about it. Now, we have a Facebook page, a couple of them. As a matter of fact, you have one that I love, the Mystic Lounge. And then we have another page that another, I think she's a graduate, had got together in IMM. And you talked about traditional versus non-traditional degrees. And UOS and IMM are non-traditional programs. Tell us more of your feelings and what made you ask the question about that, and why did you choose a non-traditional program?
Well, I mainly asked the question originally just because I kind of felt like that was kind of like the elephant in the room, I guess, with the whole program.
Right.
And I figured there were several other people was feeling kind of wary of it. But
I was one of those, and sometimes I still kind of like, ooh, am I doing the right thing kind of thing sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. But I know for me originally, I kind of was worried about what the people looking at the degree for my credentials would think, if it was like a real program, because originally I was looking at different programs, and you can find those. You just put in your name, address, and bam, you're a minister. So, and I was kind of a little concerned at first. It was one of those similar kind of programs, but after asking the question, kind of thinking on it more, and also just reading through some of Dr. Master's information he sends in the university, I can't say the word, university prospectus.
Right.
Even up there, he mentions how, let me find the exact thing, California Educational Code, there's actually a section that qualifies nonprofits to give degrees and for students to use those degrees. So, that combined with the fact there's actually not a solid new thought program out there besides, that's like a secular traditional degree. So, I think all those things combined made me a lot more comfortable with the whole program.
Well, I one of the things that made me comfortable with the program was meeting some of the other students. I am so glad, like when I started the program, which I started this year, well, actually last year, 2011, when I met some of the people online really kind of, made it better for me to feel more comfortable about the whole thing because I, just us corresponding through Facebook and that kind of thing, got to see what some of the people are thinking about, the kind of people that they were. And I could tell these were people of integrity who were knowledgeable about metaphysics. I'm going to have to be honest, I'm kind of new to metaphysics, so I'm learning some things about that. Maybe we can even go there a bit about what is the definition, because I know a lot of people and people that will be coming to us, whether you're doing counseling or ministerial work, will kind of question what metaphysics are. Can you give us a little definition about that?
Well, metaphysics, I think the definition of it is looking beyond the physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy definition. I usually tend to go with new thought, I guess, rather than metaphysics. But it's basically just, I guess my view is just kind of focusing on the energies around us that we can't necessarily see, but we can feel and use.
Right. Nothing. Some people, because I'm from a Christian community, so that's that I'm doing this. I know for some people it's kind of scary, but really metaphysics is a philosophy, not necessarily a religion, and it's the philosophy of that we're here, but there has to be something beyond what we think, see, and feel that says that we're here and why we're here and why are we here. Those are the questions that metaphysics answers. It's sort of like a lot. And New Thought, to me, and you correct me because, like I said, I'm kind of new. New Thought is just basically accepting other people and other beliefs. Even as a Christian, for me, it's not like always that I got to argue my way through that, but I present myself being the best person that I can be. I can hear your beliefs. I don't have to agree with them, but, if I'm walking my Christian walk, then hopefully that'll be something that will make you see, hey, this is a good walk. But I still respect who you are in your path. So I guess on New Thought, is you explain that in your definition. Is that kind of where you are? Because I have some listeners that are probably listening that may not understand all of that, so that's why I'm kind of going there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess New Thought, I kind of use metaphysics and New Thought kind of interchangeably, but I think one of the big emphasis in New Thought is kind of the control of our, basically how our thoughts control the world around us.
Right.
It's a movement that kind of stemmed out of the Transcendental Movement in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, from there, it kind of formed into the Unity Churches, Religious Science Churches, Christian Science Churches.
Right.
But it's more of a belief system, like, you know, if God is, like, inside of us, around us, is us, you know, pretty much the entire universe is God. And also we can control the, you know, just use that power with our thoughts to create our own lives. I mean, that's kind of what New Thought's core is.
And that's a good down-to-the-earth, simple definition for those who may be listening that have never heard of that. And, you know, with me being a Christian, sometimes I have to explain because some people might think I'm going out there, but it's not. It's for me to help understand other people's thought processes and where they are. Not that I have to explain that, but that is what it's for. Where are you now in the program, and what would be some of your tips to help others like myself who are presently forging ahead through the program?
I'm just now, hopefully this coming week actually, I'm hoping to be finishing up the Bachelor's Ministerial Program.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'll be getting ready to start some of the Master's Thesis and doing some of those courses. But I guess my main tip for the program right now, because since it's a correspondence course that you do all on your own, the big thing I think is you pretty much take from the course what you put into it. I mean, I think the big thing with that is to really just highlight things, mark things that really resonate with you, and just, you know, go back to it if you need to. And it's all about what you put into it, what you can get out of the program.
And I so agree. And we're probably about in the same. You might be a little bit. I'm finishing up the bachelor course. Portion. Actually, I finished it, but I hand wrote it, and so now I'm typing it up for the computer and about to send it in, and have started reading some of the other books for the thesis part of the program. And I agree with you that some of the things seem kind of simple in that part of the program, but really when I study them and go back over them, they become really profound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped me as a person. Would you say the same thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially some of Dr. Master's, a lot of the visualizations he takes you through.
Right.
He has several techniques, maybe, like, as far as like clear negativity and all kinds of different situations, which, you know, that's part of why I think it's really good to mark things so you can, you know, find them later if you need to use them.
Yeah, and I really enjoy going through some of those. And plus some of the things he says really has helped me as a person to reflect on some things I've done, answer some questions why I've done certain things, and to see how important thoughts are and thoughts and the words we speak, because there are a lot of affirmations in the program, which I think are really good too, because it's like that settles in your spirit and helps you. You mentioned your concerns on Facebook about attending a non-traditional program, and we kind of talked about that, but kind of expound on that a little bit more for me.
My big concern was that people, I really shouldn't be concerned with people, you know, what people think, but when you're kind of going in this kind of career, or if you want to call it a career, when you're kind of going into this kind of thing, you pretty much have to kind of worry about how people view your credentials, of course. But
right.
I guess my main concern was it was not a quote real program. One of the terms that Dr. Masters uses as information in those is a diploma meal,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of what I thought it was at first. But after reading that more closely and also talking with other students, I've kind of taken a standpoint now. The big thing is for us to become, you know, comfortable ourselves with what the program is, because I kind of feel inevitably people are going to kind of ask us about it since it's so not traditional, since it's, you know, correspondence course, and plus it's so affordable too. You know, most doctorate ministerial programs cost a lot more than this, but I think the big thing as far as getting rid of those concerns is really just becoming really comfortable ourselves with what we're doing and feeling that we're doing the right thing. That way when people question us, we're able to actually, you know, explain it to them in a way that they really understand.
And I so agree with that, because I did think about that, like, oh, is this like a diploma mill? But really for the philosophy of metaphysics, it really isn't, a lot of even traditional programs that for who I am and what I do that really encompass what I want to do. And so this was the program for me. And the other thing is I'm a single mom with a child in college. And so this was affordable also for me. And as I'm going through the material, it's not like you just get this degree, you know, by writing in and, you know, maybe answering one or two questions. You have to really study, and it's self-paced study, which to me is even harder than, you know, I have a degree. I have a master's in divinity, as a matter of fact. This is harder in a way because it's self-paced.
Yeah.
So, and then you have to do your own research. So it's not like you're just, you know, getting this degree, you're really working for it.
Plus, they'll grade that stuff too pretty closely from what I've heard. You know, they'll, like, sort of the dissertation, which is like 10,000 words, I believe. If it's not right, they'll send it right back to you.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a good sign too.
And that, yeah. And I have seen that some of the people on the pages, like, that have gotten through one part, they'll be like, yay, I got through a part. And it's like this self-accomplishment, because it's not like something you're just, you know, just doing. You're really working for this, through this, at your pace and your time. So, it, you know, when I finish one part, I'm going to be happy about it. So, but I'm sure you will be too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How can you overcome those concerns, or have you overcome the concerns that you were having about this program?
I feel like I think I pretty well have now. I'm really just posting in the group and kind of getting everyone's feedback on that kind of really kind of helped that a little bit. Like I said, I was kind of the elephant in the room, so I'm sure I was the only one who needed to hear some of those comments. But I think the general consensus is pretty much, you know, like I just said, just pretty much you're paying this money to do this program, you're doing all this work, you're writing a thesis, dissertation, and plus, you know, you're not necessarily doing it for the outer world, you're doing it for your own growth, and to, you know, of course you are showing you're committed to, you know, learning, but lost my train of thought.
Well, you're doing well, because really, I was glad when you brought up the question, because you're like, right, it was like the elephant in the room. It wasn't like I had never thought about it. And then thought about what people will say about it, and then plus being Christian and really from a really not, traditional Christian setting, you know, even that. But I just come to, this is me. I really wanted to find out about this, to study this philosophy, to learn about other religions and what people are thinking, not that I have to agree with them, but to respect them and learn to get along with people and to see, okay, well, this is, you know, I may not agree with that, but I see where you are in that. So that was really one of my issues for wanting to do it. And I've overcome my minds because I'm really working through the program now, and I see that it is hard work. And I feel like the biggest thing for us to do when we complete the degree is to work with integrity. There's so much going on in the spiritual community with ministers having scandals and stuff like that. I think that if we all take this degree seriously, we go out and do what we endeavor to do, become life changers and world changers and support people spiritually, and if we do that with integrity, that kind of lifts up the degree too. And that's really one of the reasons why I'm doing this program, so that we bring it out to the public before they even ask these questions. We're answering the questions, and that we present ourselves that way. So you have a Facebook page, a blog, and you're doing a lot of great things when I can see on the Facebook page and the blog. How are you planning to use this degree to pursue your passions?
Thank you. Well, my next steps right now is to really just kind of make my online presence a little bit more more well-known, I guess. Coming up, I'm actually planning on starting some YouTube videos and also a podcast, which is hopefully coming this month. But and also I'm working on writing some online courses as well. My big thing, like, as far as my passion, is to really make be a global presence, not just a local presence. I kind of feel like I'm bringing about more of a global awareness or change with these principles instead of just more locally. But of course, part of it too, I do enjoy the computer and doing things on the computer, so that's also kind of another reason for that. But I'm really just gonna do what I can to help change the culture and consciousness of the world.
Sorry about that. Well, and I totally understand that, because, and I think you're doing that, and I respect the whole the computer thing, because I'm telling you, this is helping me. I'm like a grandma who's learning how to do computer things, so I respect you guys that are, you know, real fluent with it, because I'm bustling my way through it, but learning a lot as I go, so that's good. Do you feel like, you know, pursuing this education and this non-traditional program, that we kind of talked about this a little bit, that as we represent ourselves, that we should be open and present ourselves with integrity and professionalism. And what are your suggestions for doing that and maintaining that professionalism?
Well, I know one of the really kind of inner struggles, I think, with a lot of us in this program is, I'm assuming it is anyway, but there's kind of a balance we have to have with, you know, of course we have to support ourselves, we have to bring money in, that sort of thing, but at the same time, we also can't make that the most important thing. We have to kind of balance helping others with the bringing our finances in, and of course not to do anything to, you know, harm anyone else and bring those finances. I think the big thing is really just look at our sales, why are we doing this program, and just, you know, act with, like you said, integrity when presenting information and, you know, communicating with, you know, the community around us. Not, just basically not making it all about the money, which I think is easy to some people will slip into.
Right, and I feel like that's right. You're right. We shouldn't make it all about the money. A lot of us are spiritual seekers, and we want to help others. Once you've kind of come through the path of a spiritual path, you kind of want to help others along the way when they are going through that seeking and that time of trying to find God and a connection with God. You want to help people along that path. And I think what I'm getting from most of the people that I've interacted on the Facebook page is that their desire. Somewhere in there, that's their desire, too, to help other people, not necessarily. I'm still struggling with how to make money. I want to do this full-time, but making the money that can and will support me is still kind of like one of the things I'm working through. And people frequently ask, what can you do with a metaphysical degree, and what are your thoughts on that? I kind of brought that up with that other question. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, I think it's more of a, honestly for me too, it's almost like a inner validation for me. It gives me an extra push myself, just like, you know, okay, you had this degree, you can do this now.
Right.
Like, which, you know, I really didn't need that. It was just kind of like a little extra push for me that goes. But also, like I said, it's just kind of like a tangible form of your commitment to the principles that Dr. Masters teaches, and just showing people, like, look, I'm committed enough to go through this program to not just, you know, willy-nilly start, you know, spouting opinions. I mean, you actually, you know, have backing behind you of your commitment to growing and helping others.
I think that, yeah, that's kind of where I am with it, too, is just that this is helping me really do what I've been wanting to do, to organize the knowledge that I'm getting on this path of connecting and being connected with God, and then putting it out to the public and helping others with this. So this is really helping me with that, too. And I hope that, you know, at some point, I know you have another, I think I've seen something on your Mystic page about being a spiritual entrepreneur. It's kind of like off cuff of what we're talking about. But that is basically what all of us are embarking on, is really being a spiritual entrepreneur. So I'm kind of getting you off cuff, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, that's kind of some interesting too. I know a lot of people kind of, I know they criticize Wayne Dyer about this too, but a lot of people have this image in their head of a spiritual person is, you know, like some poor person living in a hut with their own mountain with no money, no clothes, you know, that sort of thing. So I think that's one of the part of our job too, kind of, you know, break that image that you, in order to be spiritual, you have to be poor. Dr. Masters, in one of his lessons, I can't remember which one it was, he actually mentioned that prosperity is proof of our, part of proof of our being spiritual beings, because, you know, it's our God-given right to be prosperous.
Right. And I so agree with that, because really if we're here to help people in the world, you can't really help if you don't have the money to help others. Or to bless others or whatever. So you need that money. To me, money is an exchange of energy, and we need it to get to do some of the things that we need to do. Even as an entrepreneur, you need the money to bring that business about and to bring that into full circle. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Always, I think it's always good, too, with, you know, having your mind, if money's coming in, you know, really set a intentional ways you can circulate back out too, and you'll help others. I mean, I don't think it's good to load up on money and buy a bunch of cars and stuff, of course. But
yeah,
I think it's always good to, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, give back part of that to the community as much as you can. So,
and I think that would help. And I think, you know, for a lot of spiritual leaders, Christian, whatever, this is a time when people are, you know, having some major issues and some falls, especially in Christendom, you know, some major controversies going out about different personalities and that kind of thing, especially when they're living pretty lavishly, which I don't really have a problem with, you know, that you live in a prosperous, you live in a nice house, drive a nice car, those kind of things. I think that the problem comes when you know, you go way overboard with everything. There's balance, and people then begin to wonder if they're donating money into your ministry, what you're doing with it. When you cause those questions to come up, I think that's when it's a problem. Would you agree with that? I know we're all
tough. Yeah, I remember. There was an evangelist, and I can't remember what one it was, but I know he was buying. They get like gold faucets and a gold doghouse and that sort of thing. That's like kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I think that is the problem when you take it way over the top.
Yeah, definitely.
And for us, I just feel like to be blessed, you know, to have the prosperity, but then to use that prosperity for yourself and others, and to be a blessing to others is the whole purpose of, like I said, exchanging that energy and the money around.
To me, the thing about money is not so much about buying things. To me, money equals freedom, and that's kind of like what I mean. I want freedom, not so much, you know, things.
Right, and you know, and as I've gotten older, it's about the money. You know, if I even had more money than I had now, I would probably still be living in the same house and driving the same car. That's just not, the material things are not as important to me as building my business probably and helping as many people as I could along the way, and helping people get to another level spiritually, physically, and mentally. You know, that total thing is more kind of like important to me. So, and if I had even more money, it would probably go back into my ministry so that I could help other people. And I think the people that I've met so far on Facebook, probably a lot of them, I could tell by the interactions that would be, including you, more of what you would do with the money from a ministry or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think you mentioned in one of your, I don't know which one I read it in, was the Mystic Lounge or IMM, that you're getting your doctorate now. I probably read it in both of them, to tell you the truth. Your doctorate in comparative religion. Tell us about that and a little bit about comparative religion. I know we have some students listening, but for others who may be listening.
Yeah, I can't remember if I mentioned earlier or not, but after I left more mainstream belief system, I started investigating different religions. Actually, the first one was Buddhism, was the one I really got into, and I tend to read a little bit all of them even now. So comparative religion just really seemed like the perfect fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can really, particularly Hinduism is one I'm really big into now, and also like some of the principles from Buddhism. I could kind of see a way that they all kind of weave together and pretty much are saying the same thing. They all teach people to be compassionate people, to be more loving people, to basically use principles in a way to make your own life work, and doing that also enables you more to help other people. I kind of feel like all of them are saying the same thing. To me, that kind of fascinates me. Almost like ancient validation is one word I kind of use for it. My beliefs are valid because all these ancient traditions have been all been saying the same things.
And I've had a course in comparative religion, I feel like not that I'm an expert in it, because you know you get a little blurb about everything, so you have a general knowledge as a minister about all religions, and that's pretty much how the course that I took before was about. Which that's my whole point, even as being a Christian, is that I can learn about all these other religions. Just, you know, for me, my path, I believe Jesus is the way and the truth and the light, but I can learn about these other paths to understand where people from different regions or different thoughts. So that it is interesting. And I've only had like one class in it, but I'm sure you're going into a lot more depth than that. But I think it's interesting to study the different paths and to even see the commonality, because sometimes I feel like we interact with each other pulling, I'm this, I'm that, and you don't really get to see or to love a person just for the person. So that's what I kind of believe, that we do need ministers that have a understanding of that so that we can all reach what is the commonality. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of times we get hung up on different little words that each one uses. When I think like at their core, like all the religions pretty much are there to, you know, reduce the negativity in our lives and increase the positivity in our lives. You know, I think all of them at their core just make us happy and make us more loving people toward our communities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what we have to do as people is just to love and the greatest witness, I always say, as a Christian, is for you to live your life like Christ. And that's the witness. You know, that's the greatest witness, and to love other people unconditionally. And they'll find their path. So we're coming up. Is there any last thoughts? And as a spiritual leader coming from a program preparing spiritual leaders, what are your thoughts on spiritual leadership? And we kind of talked about that, but you want to expand on that a little bit more?
Well, it's pretty much exactly what you said. I think as spiritual leaders, we're called to kind of demonstrate the best of humanity, encourage others to do the same way, and just to basically learn about is God in our own way and grow that way, and then be able to, you know, help others do the exact same thing. So just bring more light into the world, I think, is our ultimate goal.
And I totally agree with you. It has been great. Do you have any suggestions for anybody going through the program, any words you want to speak about being a student at UOS? You have any of those suggestions you want to pass on to all of us who are pretty much, like I said, going through the same things? What would your suggestions be? And just kind of end with telling us, you know, how you feel that you've made this decision, even though you've kind of said those, but kind of just go over some of that with us.
Let's see. Well, I do want to mention again that, you know, the program, you'll get as much as you put into it. And I would also recommend really digging into that recommended reading list. I've looked at a few books on there. They're all of them are wonderful. But yeah, basically the main reason I really chose this program, which was kind of at first it was more about, of course, financial reasons, and something the other school I was interested in possibly doing required me to move, and I wasn't really too thrilled about that at the time.
Right.
Yeah, after actually digging into the program, Dr. Masters kind of really emphasized a lot more, kind of unique view, I think, that some of the other ministries don't really emphasize, like Hinduism. He mentioned it quite a bit, too, but those are things that really draw me to this program, I think. I would definitely recommend one thing is, get comfortable with your degree first off, I think that's really the first obstacle to overcome with this program is get comfortable with the degree. And that way, if the people in that living are going to ask you about it, so I would get comfortable with that. Also, just pick a degree you love, and don't worry about the letters after it or before it or all any of that kind of stuff. And just follow your passion when picking what you're doing in the program and your topics.
I think those are all wise words, and I have so enjoyed talking to you. It's great to talk to you in person. I feel like I know people because we've been on the Facebook pages and everything, so I meet, the couple people that I have actually met or have on the show or whatever. I feel like I already know you, but it was so nice to talk to you, so nice for you to share your thoughts with us. And I hope that there were plenty of people from UOS and IMM listening. This was the first show. Come back for future shows. Or if you want to be a guest and you have a topic that you think that would help out all of us or help us understand some things better, please message me on my Facebook page and let me know. We can work something out. Again, Michael, I just want to say thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and you were great. You are absolutely fantastic and informative. So this is Soul in the City. This is the first live class, the first of many. And as I said, if you want to be a guest or you just want to listen or you want to call in for questions, we are just so open here, whatever. It is all good, as I say. So listen to some of my archive shows, and my shows are on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you're welcome to listen, to call in, to share your concerns, to share your wisdom. It's all about us learning and growing and sharing from each other. So this is Soul in the City. This has been Life Class with Michael Hamlin. And we are so glad that you listened in for this time. Thank you so much, Michael. And we're going to end the program. So good night, everybody.